Welcome to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, January 20th, 2019, by Rhonda Johnson, intern at St. Philip's Rochester.
May the words I speak be to the glory of God. Amen.
Amen.
The wedding at Cana in the Gospel of John is one of my favorite stories in the New Testament because of its pervasive, overwhelming abundance and pure joy. The water Jesus turned into wine produced 20 to 30 gallons each in each of the six stone jars. Now that's pure abundance. And not only was it abundant quantity, it was abundant in its quality, as it was the best wine you could serve. No blackberry Mogan David wine in a screw top bottle. That, by the way, reminds me of the kind of bottled wine my grandmother kept hidden in the paper sack in the top of her closet because my grandfather would never have approved. It was a community-wide celebration, a festival, a feast, where everyone participated by bringing food and gifts. People from the surrounding communities, along with Jesus, the disciples, and the mother of Jesus, were invited to the wedding celebration. And can you imagine a wedding reception that lasted abundantly for a whole week? I'm sure some of you would gasp at the thought of that, and others would say, bring it on. I am sure that you can relate when I say that even the best planned events always have the possibility of not evolving as hoped. As someone who once planned special events, I learned that typically something will not go as planned, and that it was just a matter of what. I could have used a miracle or two several times. It reminds me that the road of life brings blessings and struggles, and yes, all at the same time. This is what happened at the wedding at Cana. In the midst of this joyous celebration, a humiliating, embarrassing tragedy for the groom and his family was developing. An old rabbinic saying says that without wine, there is no joy. Wine was part of the joy of that kind of celebration in the first century Jewish weddings. In Jesus' day, running out of wine at a wedding reception was not a mild social faux pas. It was considered considerably rude and offensive, as those attending the wedding were bringing gifts. So the families were facing an embarrassing, potentially threatening situation because the wine gave out. The wedding at Cana is found only in the Gospel of John, as well as the fact that John refers to the turning of water into wine as the first of Jesus' signs rather than miracles, as do the other three Gospels. The signs point to something beyond the actual event itself, to something hidden that can be revealed and that sometimes also appears if we're open to seeing. John tells us that Jesus' sign of turning water into wine revealed his glory, an epiphany, the witnessing of God's presence. John records seven such signs in his gospel that all demonstrate that Jesus Christ is more than a great teacher or prophet, that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Now, we frequently hear about God's glory in the Bible. But how do we recognize God's glory? It is sometimes stated that God's glory is the external manifestation of his being. And again, God's glory is something that appears, is revealed, or can be seen if we're open to seeing. There is a more fundamental sense that God's glory is prior to and apart from any manifestation. Jesus' glory is revealed to only few at this wedding, his disciples, his servants, and his mother. In his last days, Jesus prays to the Father. He says, "The glory that you have given me, I have given them." So, Jesus gave us his glory. This is Jesus' gift to you right now. But you have to receive it. You have to take hold of it. Jesus has a gift intended for you. His gift of glory. And this gift would make a difference in how you live your life. So, how do we grasp this glory? Here are a few examples. First, dare to enjoy your life by laughing at squirrels. Gaze at flower petals in their most intricate color and form and fragrance. Eat your food slowly, enough that you can taste the spices in your food. Listen for the oboe at the symphony. Or watch your dog or cat watch you. Experience what good architecture does for your soul. Or notice the color between the light of dawn and the light of dusk. Risk being silent. Recall the road less traveled that you have taken and how that has made all the difference. Say thank you at least a dozen times a day. Find an outdoor fountain and watch the flow of water. Reclaim your notorious failures and what good came out of them. Find something that makes you laugh. Go to a museum. Visit one gallery, only one gallery, and stay there until you have learned the secret you need to know. Remember your first love. Remember what brings tears to your eyes. Remember who brings tears to your eyes and why. Live the miracle of your life each passing moment. Take nothing for granted. Take everything in gratitude. Dare to enjoy your life. So you could ask, is daring to enjoy your life, is that glory? Yes. It's a manifestation of God's glory. You're being able to taste and see that God's gift of life for you is good. Jesus promises to give you the life and to give it to you abundantly. So lap up that goodness. Don't miss a minute of it. Don't miss a minute of the wedding at Cana. A beautiful example of the glory of God's presence in the middle of ordinary events. Remember, you experience the presence of God's glory as manifested through ordinary people in the ordinary events that you encounter in your ordinary routine of life. But maybe it's hard for you to accept this gift of God's glory that Jesus' life and love manifest to you. Maybe you feel that life is just too hard to enjoy, and as a result, you cannot see God's glory within you and around you because you're suffering of the suffering and the despair and the deceit, and the cruelty, and the injustice, and the death in our world. But think about this. Perhaps you or someone you know has experienced the following. Recovered from cancer, but is still cheerful in spite of the suffering. An innocent person is finally released from incarceration and carries no residual feelings of anger or resentment, but rather grateful for the newfound freedom. Or someone is recovering from a debilitating addiction and reflects abundant joy and gratitude, or someone who just lost a job and is hopeful rather than full of despair and bitterness in their search for employment. And the list can go on and on. Examples of the manifestations of God's abundant glory and grace in times of suffering and joy. But you have to make space in your life in the midst of the worst and the best, and sometimes all at the same time. You can do more than one thing at a time. A glimpse of Jesus' glory was revealed at the wedding to only the servants, his disciples, and his mother, who probably already knew. But Jesus' full glory has now been revealed to all people in his passion, death, and resurrection. I heard a true story about a man who battled cancer for over a decade and it aggressively returned. Someone asked him, "How are you doing?" He responded, "I'm terrific. My multiple myeloma has metastasized, but other than that, life is wonderful." And the people who knew this man knew that this was true for him. In 15 days, this man was dead. You may know people who dare to enjoy their life no matter the circumstances. So how do you pass on the manifestation of God's glory in your life? In thinking about this question, I realize that you appear in the story of the wedding at Cana. Jesus asked the servants to draw out the wine and take it to the steward, and they did. That's what you do in church, isn't it? As felt called by Jesus, you offer the wine to each other in this community and to wherever God takes you, whether to someone in the hospital or to home. You also prepare meals and provide support and prayers for those suffering grief and loss. You pass on to others the glory that God has ceaselessly passed on to you, and thus you manifest the glory of God's abundant love and grace to others. This is what a disciple of Christ is called to do. So, remember the wedding at Cana and its abundant joy. Join the celebration with Jesus. Manifest Jesus' glory by daring to enjoy your life, even in the midst of all its struggle.